Hello and welcome once again to my programme. But today we're just going to call it off the cuff because I've got Roger here with me. If you remember that he is a recently retired police officer. So welcome once again, Roger. Still enjoying retirement?
I am, Vanessa.
Busy?
Yes.
Busier than being a police officer?
Yes, but in different ways.
Okay, fine. Well, today I'd first like to start by talking about the European arrest warrant. As you know, I'm in UKIP and we are very much against the European arrest warrant. I remember meeting somebody from Korfmullen whose son had been taken off to, I think it was Hungary, thrown in a cell and was kept there months and months and months because, of course, the system in Hungary is totally different to the one in this country. So could you give me your personal take on the European arrest warrant?
Right. European arrest warrants, I know, are very emotive, but it depends in which perspective you come from. When people go abroad, so British people go abroad, one thing that the British are very good at forgetting is the fact that we are beholden to the laws of the country that we go to, and they have their own systems and their own cultures, and if we fall foul of those, then we stand responsible and accountable to their rule of law, not ours. And it's very easy sometimes to try and judge other people's legal systems by our own.
So really, it's kind of buyer beware then, isn't it?
Very much so. So, you know, people, and I know people have hit problems. You've mentioned the example in Hungary. There have been examples with Greece and other countries like that, where when you look at it in the way that the British legal system works, there does seem to be an inherent unfairness in the way that people are being treated, the timescales that are involved, the fact that they've been held in prison and so forth. But we have to remember that that is their country, their laws and their way of doing things, built up over decades, if not centuries, to that way. And people should be responsible to try and find out what they are allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. Now, you've mentioned the example of Hungary, and I know that you know, that's been very much in the media focus, as have other examples from Greece, where people have become subject of European arrest warrants and taken back there. Now, the views that are expressed by people in terms of that it seems very unfair, the manner in which people are being dealt with, their access to legal advice, the way that they're perhaps being held in a custodial environment, again, hasn't sat very well with people. And on that basis, when I've listened to arguments about European arrest warrants, people tend to be arguing from the fact, well, that all seems very unfair, that's not how we do it in this country, it's almost like they're in the dark ages. But what it does highlight is that whilst you have a very useful process with the European arrest warrant across the member states of the EU, it does highlight these significant differences in the way that the various systems work. And what I would say initially is that there is a place, in my view, for a European arrest warrant, which I'll quantify in a moment, but perhaps there needs to have been more work in terms of having a statement of common purpose, common basis amongst all the member states that are signed up to the European arrest warrant, so that everybody will be dealt with in the same equal and fair, just manner that's been agreed before the use of that process.
But am I right in saying that in this country it's that you are innocent until proved guilty, but in most of these European countries you are basically treated as guilty until you're proved innocent? It's exactly the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right in as much as that in this country there's a held principle in the criminal justice system that you're always innocent until proven guilty. But of course, you know, it's very difficult to actually, you know, go out and just get all your evidence together so you're in a position, because it's only until someone's convicted in this country that then you're held to be guilty. But at some stage, you've got to say this person's responsible and has got to stand, you know, to the allegation that's been made. So equally, whilst we may have people that are disenchanted with the use of European arrest warrants to take British subjects over onto the continent to countries there to face allegations within their criminal justice system, equally, we have to remember that that same process is available to us if we wish to actually go abroad and actually bring somebody back to this country.
But didn't we have Interpol before where it worked?
Well, Interpol is more of an intelligence sharing setup. It isn't actually a police force that actually works in all the countries. It's like a liaison, a link point, so that if you wanted to circulate information about someone that's wanted, you'd go through Interpol and they would make sure all the relevant enforcement agencies across Europe were updated and they could coordinate exactly what's going on. There wasn't actually an enforcement arm to Interpol as such.
So if you thought somebody was guilty in another country, you couldn't get them back here then before the European arrest warrant?
Not as simply. You'd have to have the extradition treaties and other arrangements between different member states that would have allowed, say the British, for example, to have applied to those courts for that person to be extradited back to the UK. Whereas with a European arrest warrant, it's a common standard. Once it's, you've complied with the process, then officers will go out and they would work with the local police, arrest that individual and bring them back. I mean, Spain is a good example, the Costa del crime. There are people that are getting brought back there on a regular basis who have tried to evade British justice by going to live out there. Once all the right inquiries, the right evidential base to justify the issue of a warrant, people are being sought and brought back. From my experience, I mean, Poland tend to use the European arrest warrant very, very proactively in this country.
Does that mean we've got a lot of Polish criminals in this country then?
Well, it would suggest that that there are people that need to stand account for something back in their own country.
In your own experience, have you had experience where you've had some dangerous criminals living in the area from other countries?
Yep, absolutely. And I'll use Poland as an example, where an individual who had been convicted for murder in their own country, and there were other equally of a serious nature allegations, hot-footed it across to the UK, changed his identity, and was living in a local area, under the radar, oblivious to the British authorities.
Yeah.
And purely by chance, the Polish authorities were able to track down this individual to an address.
Yeah.
They themselves have no power to detain that person.
Right.
There were lots of other procedural issues about how they went around tracking him down if they were a British police force, because we have lots of other legislation that control, how the police operate. The only way that that person was going to go back to Poland to face the conviction that had already taken place in his absence, as well as any of the other allegations, was through a European arrest warrant.
So do you think if they...
What happened.
Yeah, so do you think then if there hadn't have been a European arrest warrant, what do you think would have happened?
It would have been a very long, lengthy, drawn-out process.
Would you have been able to have arrested him, knowing what you knew?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
So he would have been at large in the community?
Yes, he would have been able to carry on ad infinitum until all... his opportunity to try and fight all legal avenues had failed. Then he would have had no choice. But these and we've seen when people have gone through these non-European arrest warrant extradition processes, they can be drawn out for years.
Well, take Julian Assange.
Yeah. So, exactly. And if you've got anyone that comes from the EU to the UK, right, and we've seen a number of media cases quite recently in months where people have come more from the eastern
block
area of the EU who had strings of convictions for quite serious sexual assaults, murders, gun-related crime, this type of level of offending, but they've been able to come into the UK. Because we don't have border controls, nobody knew they were here. Nobody was able to know anything about their previous convictions or the difficulties we're experiencing actually being able to find out about previous convictions. Then, of course, they've offended here in exactly the same way. And it's like, well, why didn't we know about this? Well, once we've known about this and the person is perhaps wanted back in their home country for something, we don't have an agreement within the EU that I'm aware of where we can just arrest on their behalf, except through a European arrest warrant. And in which case, it would have been for that member state to have gone through the right process, issued a European arrest warrant, a local officer would have then been able to attend to the address, knock on the door, identify that that's the person that they're looking for, arrest them on the European arrest warrant, and then they would be straight into custody. If you went through any other process of knocking on the door and telling them that this is happening, you won't find them again.
No.
So, you know, we have to look at it in a balance across Europe. Have to look at it in a balance, in as much as that whilst we may have genuine issues about how other countries operate in terms of their legal system, if we're looking for a common, you know, European approach to justice generally, we have to be mindful that whilst there are concerns raised, genuine or not, about how they've been employed by other member states, we have to remember that, you know, we have people amongst us in our communities that equally would be subject of European arrest warrants to be taken back to those member states from where whence they came. And that has got to be for the good of the safety our own communities.
Well, what if it was your son that had gone out, take this case again, because I've met the guy in question. What if it was your son that had gone out to set up a business, and like a lot of businesses, you know, it failed, and then it came back, and then years later, that knock on the door, and you're slung into a jail, and be there for months and months and months. There's got to be something wrong there, hasn't there? It can't be like this.
Well, it's difficult to talk about individual cases without knowing all the finer detail. But if that person had not come back to the UK when they did, what would have happened in that home country? They'd have probably been arrested and put into prison whilst they awaited for everything to be sorted out.
And that's the difference, isn't it? That here, you can't be put into prison unless there's some...
Well, you're charged over
and
here.
And then you're on bail.
And there has to be good grounds to refuse somebody the opportunity of bail, which is constantly reviewed within the criminal justice system, usually by a judge. And we have other options of, you know, home detention with tags and bail conditions with curfews and bits and pieces. So there's lots of ways that you can control people. But of course, these other countries may not have those systems. And if they have, their system isn't geared up to it. Now, is this because, you know, we are judging something that's happened in another country by our own standards, for which they may have an adverse view of how we deal with things?
Exactly. So, okay, what we're afraid of course, is that we end up with their system. To me, that would be terrible. Anyway, have we got room to keep putting loads of people into prison?
No, we haven't.
And I don't suppose, you know, I should have really looked it up. Do we know the figures of foreign people in our prisons? I know it's quite...
They are quite high. We have, and I'm talking off the top of my head here, something like 65 million people that live in this country, of which we have something like about 88, 90,000 people currently held in prison. Now, that people say... That's a lot. They say it's the highest number of people in prison anywhere in Europe.
Well, it's because so many people come here, let's face it.
But you also have to look at that in terms of, you know, you can read into statistics whatever you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, is 90,000 approximate people against 65 million that many to have in prison? I read a book, and I wish I could remember the name of the chap who wrote it.
It's about getting older, Roger.
Yeah. And he actually compared us to France. And actually, in France, you stand a greater chance of going to prison per crime as opposed to over here. But they have a lot less crime committed than what we do. Mm. So in other words, over here, you commit a crime, you get convicted, you've less chance of going to prison than if you committed a crime in France. And he then compared our sentencing guidelines now in this current day to what was taking place in this country in the 50s.
Mm.
And people are getting uptight about, you know, the fact we've got 90,000 people in prison. If we sentence people on the same basis we sentenced people in the 50s, we would have 250,000 people in prison.
Yes, oh yeah.
Now, everything, the whole arguments about people in prison...
I must just do a plug here, because I've just published a book called Past My Sell-By Date, which is C-E-L-L. And really, it's about historic time in prison from, I think, the 50s. And my goodness, if people moan about what prison is like today, these are going back to the days of bread and water and what have you. So it's luxury today being in prison compared to those days.
That's right. And there's a lot of things that they could do better in terms of prison today, in terms of giving people the right support, educational opportunities. So, but that's a whole different area to get into discussing. But we do have amongst that 90,000, it may be more, but there is a significant percentage of people that are not UK citizens or they've got a dual nationality. If we were to take those people out of the system, then it would relieve a massive pressure on the prison service. I mean, the government for a long time wouldn't build prisons. They looked at private prisons, but that's all about money. That's about rehabilitation, about public protection. That's just about saving money. I mean, if you don't have people in prison and you put them back into the community, without the support or the confidence that they have been rehabilitated not to keep reoffending, you know, all they're going to do is go back to their ways. I mean, the probation service, you know, get to see people once a week. What they do the other 167 hours of the week, who knows?
Well, I think, like you say,
it's putting a pressure back onto the public and to insurance companies, local businesses, to soak up the cost of the crime that the prison service is not necessarily dealing with. I mean, rehabilitation versus public safety, they're whole complex arguments to go into. But the foreign nationals, if we took them out, what do we do with them? Do we send them back to where they come from? Do we keep them in the community? You know, people then start to get into talking about the disproportionality of people from different ethnic backgrounds that are in prison, even if they have British, you know, they're British.
Yeah.
But again, you know, you have to look at what people have done as much as what the who the people are. It's very much like if you go into discussing stop and search, and another very emotive subject when it comes to looking at police powers and police tactics. But in some areas, people will say that there's a very high percentage of people that are stop and search from certain ethnic backgrounds. But if you have to look at when those searches take place and what the street population is.
Yeah.
Now, there were studies done off, I think it was Slough, it may have been somewhere up that way, but when a lot of these searches were done, the street population was basically people from certain ethnic backgrounds.
Well, let's put it this way. So if the street's full of pink people, then you're not going to look for a yellow person, are you? And that's basically...
No, and the Met did get into trouble a few years ago by talking about... you know, which ethnic background were responsible for the majority of street robberies. That's a fact.
Yeah.
When a victim says and describes their attacker in a certain, you know, with a certain ethnicity, that's who we're looking at. You know, it's no point trying to say, well,
let's look for everything but.
Yeah. Just because we were frightened of actually upsetting people. But how we go about that is a different matter.
Yeah, but have you noticed, though, that we are really afraid of saying things now, aren't we, to do with race, colour and creed? People are. I've noticed, being in UKIP, that, you know, people are very afraid of saying anything,
comes back to, I think, you know, the 90s, late 90s, early 80s, early 2000s, where we went through this thing under Labour with multiculturalism, and a lot of legislation was changed, you know, to try and accommodate for that. And, you know, the PC world of, you know, political correctness has made people very, very concerned about what they can and what they can't say. Because it's very easy to throw something at somebody and say, oh, you know, you're a racist or you're homophobic.
Yeah.
Because once you throw that at people, that mud sticks. It has made people very frightened to discuss things in a very open way. With a way to try and take things forward positively.
Getting back to the European arrest warrant, if you were in charge, if you were, God forbid, David Cameron, would you still want to have this European arrest warrant? But not in the same way, I guess.
I'd still want European arrest warrants in principle, because if like you've mentioned UKIP, if Britain was to withdraw from the EU, we'd have to come to some arrangement with all these other countries, which would be going back to the negotiating table on what basis was finally determined. But with the European arrest warrant, there's probably a lot of room to discuss with other countries the criteria upon which people can, you know, be arrested or have a European arrest warrant applied for their arrest. But I look at it probably a little bit selfishly, but from the British point of view, if we've got people in this country that are presenting a threat to public safety, you know, to victims of crime, you know, that they are habitual offenders, whether it be low level but on a volume scale, or they are quite high level offenders in terms of, you know, the serious amount of violence that they may incorporate with their offending, you know, is it right that we should have these people here if we have a process that allows the home country to be able to take them back to where they came from to face allegations of things that they are clearly trying to escape
from? But that comes back to the point, doesn't it, that it shouldn't have happened in the first place, because this is why we want control over borders, you know. And I bring back the analogy, you wouldn't leave your back door open just for anybody to come in, would you? And really that's what we're doing with this country. Is I if I'm right, you're not allowed to stop people and check who you are, what you've been doing, if they come from the European Union.
When you say who can check?
Well, when they come through, say, are flown in from, let's say, Poland, Romania, any of the EU countries, they just come through. I mean, there's no stop and check, is there?
There will be an element of some sort of monitoring of who's coming in and out, but not to the depth where, and people won't have the time to actually be able to go through and actually work out who is this person, who is, you know, what threat or risk do they present. Because we have this free border movement.
So are the British police, are they given lists of criminals from other country, from all other EU countries? You know, watch out, this one's on the run or the loose.
So that comes back to where Interpol, the function that Interpol used to do, that if there were people who fitted a certain criteria, it obviously gets circulated around. And there's a whole intelligence system that works within the police service. But down to your average Bobby on the street, he's not going to know anything. He's only going to be able to deal with what really is, you know, in front of them.
So the Bobby on the street, does he get a list of these are people that could be loose British people then, or not?
Well, there will be in a local area. You know, there'll always be, you know, conversations and so forth about people that are locally wanted, and through normal briefings like you've just seen on the bill and some of these television programs, you know, people are made aware that, you know, if so and so's about, they're wanted. And if somebody who is of particular interest to the police, who's believed to have gone to another force area, that force will be told and people will be made aware. But again, it's you know, it's how much information can you retain.
So you're not going to be very popular with some people after this, you realise. But so what were you saying? I just want to round this up and finish it off. But so you're saying that the British people who go to other countries might end up as the sacrificial lamb, you know, if for some reason somebody says something against them and they're thrown in jail in a European country, that they could be there for months and...
I'm not saying it's right they should be thrown in prison for months and the rest of it. But all I'm saying is that people need to be mindful when they go to other European states, that they will have a different set of laws, different set of cultures and values.
So really, you should stay at home then.
Yeah, or just be mindful about what you can and what you can't do, and moderate your behaviour accordingly.
Oh, but I've got to take issue with this, because I remember the case of the woman who'd gone to Italy, and she came back and said, oh, this she was raped by this guy. And then, of course, he said no. And she was very worried that she would end up going out to another country. Now, she didn't go out there, did she, thinking, I'm going to be raped today. So, you know, it makes you wonder, is it worth leaving the borders?
But then you're talking about somebody who's been a victim, as opposed to somebody who's alleged to have done something wrong. You know, I mean, they've changed the law as well about for motoring offences. So people can be pursued here, because what was happening is you'd have people zooming down the French toll roads or the German autobahns, breaking their speed limits, which are obviously different to ours anyway. They'd obviously get picked up on their own traffic radar systems, but once they got back to the UK, can't be touched. And it's just a mechanism to say that if we're part of Europe and there's no specific borders, you know, should people be able to just cross a border and avoid liability or accountability for what they do elsewhere?
So this brings me nicely to my final question. If there was an EU referendum tomorrow on out, in, yes, no, how would you vote? I put you on the spot.
Yes. Overall,
It's either yes or no.
This is purely a personal view.
Yes, right? Yes. Don't worry, everybody's going to get this who comes on from here on in, because I am in the no campaign. And
I do struggle to see the advantages of remaining in the EU as we stand at the moment. I know David Cameron's talking about trying to negotiate a better deal before he goes to a referendum. That's just smoke and mirrors.
That bullshit, yeah.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors. Yeah. But the bottom line is, I think there's more advantages by cutting the ties at the moment. Yep, there's going to be a lot of work to renegotiate an awful lot of things with Europe.
Yeah.
But personally, I think the advantages of being out at the moment appear to outweigh those of staying in.
Well, thank you for that, Roger. You're definitely going to stay on my Christmas card list. And have a great day. And thank you to the listeners. Until the next time. Bye for now. Bye.